to let the mic smoke. Now I slam it when I'm gonna make sure it's broke. If you can't cope, you should have broke, because I ain't no joke.
Now, y'all want, see, I'm the fool, right? Y'all want me to believe that y'all know who that is. Chuck Cooper ain't got a clue who that is. Warren don't know who that is. And your daughter told you to play that, Kevin, because you don't have. Who was that? Chuck, who was that?
My daughter Chuck wasn't don't even know? Thought about
Wait
when
a minute.
That came
Who
out.
Was that, Chuck?
You got me on that
Who
one.
Was that, Warren?
You kidding, right?
I wasn't really paying attention to the song, let me be honest. So. If I heard it again.
Tell, rock tell him more. Again.
Rock, rock him.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. There you go.
Eric B. and Rock.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. You're right. Eric B. and Rock.
You know what I'm going to do?
The tandem is definitely important. You can't say Rock him. You're certainly right.
Bill, I'm just going to put together a mixed playlist for you. And you'll have all the old jams, and I'll put the names in there and everything, the year. So the next time we come on, man, you'll be together.
Or not. Listen, Key. Come on, listen, Key.
I have heard all about Love Land.
Wow.
Come on, man. Can we get some good music?
No and Quiet Storm. No Quiet Storm, Bill. Come. Say that for Sunday night,
but
man.
I know I'll never get to Love Land unless I'm wrapped up in your arms.
Stop now. We're trying to
what?
Keep our audience,
Come on,
man,
with some music up
trying
in
to
here.
Keep our audience.
That's good music. Look, Key, she moved the tears. The music sounds so good. She moved the tears. Don't cry, baby. Don't cry. I have my voice has that effect on people. Don't cry. All right, I got it. That's gonna swallow the music. Look, you're listening to Soul Take Champions Live, coming to you live from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Urban Media Today sports show that's part of the Urban Media Today network, fastest growing network in the country, quite honestly, headed up by the great Alan Lincoln and Trev Jones on the board, keeping everything in order. Kevin Cameron, the orchestrator of this whole operation, he gets all the credit for putting this together. And Miss T. Kiki in the room today, special guest, the voice of WAMO, Sheridan Broadcasting, and all that kind of stuff. Back in the day, I was there. Did you guys know that Champions Live used to be the number one sports talk show in Pittsburgh when one Bill Neal and Eddie Jeffries headed it up? Man, we were bad.
In your mind or
no, the stats. No, don't take away from history now.
No, I'm just asking. I don't know. You have to educate me.
I just said, did you guys know? So I was trying to educate you. If you quit dozing off and try to stay with us,
I'm trying to stay with you, man. If you stop singing these slow songs and everything, maybe I'll be better.
Those were hits that have
time and place for everything, that have life.
Let me give you something about a little bit of something you may or may not know about. Several weeks ago, I put it out there that my man and our boy, Zeke, Zeke out of Akron, great ball player, played in the Hawkins League, coached in the Hawkins League, won a title in the Hawkins League. Now he's on the bad side. He's an official. We got a little conversation. He seems to think that Earl Campbell was a greater running back than Franco Harris. And when he said it, the music was on, the wind was blowing in my ear. I didn't really understand what he said. You mean to tell me you'll take Earl Campbell before Franco Harris? And he stands by that. So we put it out there several weeks ago on the show, and lo and behold, we got 78 texts for Franco and 47 for Earl Campbell. Now, let's be honest. Earl Campbell was a beast of a runner and a front runner of beasts that were runners. But Earl Campbell is not the accomplished running back that Franco Harris was. And to validate that, I reached out to former Super Bowl champion Dwayne Woodruff, who echoed back, and I paraphrase, while I had the opportunity to try to play against Earl Campbell, I understand his talent level. But hands down, and of course you would expect it from a fellow Steeler, but hands down, Dwayne Woodruff, who's a judge, who's not going to offer you any BS, hands down, Franco Harris, better overall player than Earl Campbell. And all the stats back it up. All the MVPs, all the yardage, all the stats, back it up. So you listeners, I'm going to give you another shot at it. Text me again this week, 412-628-4856, 412-628-4856. The text question of the day, who you taking? First pick in the draft to build your new team, Earl Campbell or Franco Harris? Who you taking, Chuck?
I got to take Franco.
Well, there you go. I hope Zeke is paying attention. Who you taking, Warren?
Franco.
Kev, who you taking?
3-2. 3-2. Franco.
All right.
Just, don't you know his number? Well, man, Earl Campbell was 3-4.
Zeke is adamant about this. He almost put me out of his car.
Earl Campbell.
He's like going across the Highland Park Bridge. He's like, Neil, you have to get out with this time.
Earl Campbell could only do one thing, and that's run the football. Earl Campbell couldn't catch. He couldn't block. The only thing he could do was run hard.
and he did that.
And Franco could do everything.
Yes, he could.
I will say this. If I didn't get Franco and the next pick I got Earl, I wouldn't be upset.
Oh, no. You'd be all right.
I wouldn't be upset.
Well said.
In today's NFL, Earl Campbell would be a first and second down back. He wouldn't be in there on third down unless it was short yardage, of course.
Yeah. Well, my man Zeke, we've had some heated arguments about that, and of course, he lays claim to the fact that the Steelers had. Well, Franco was great because they had a great team. I had to remind him, the Houston Oilers were great. They had a great team, and the only thing that kept them from the Super Bowl was the Steelers. I said, Zeke, do your work, man. But Earl Campbell was a beast, but he wasn't playing with no second rounders. He was playing with Hall of Famers as well.
It's amazing, though. They do that with every Pittsburgh Steeler, past and present. Oh, they always talk about the great teams Pittsburgh has. So when you talk about someone like Hines Ward, for example, or Donnie Schell, they always go back to, oh, no, he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. Look at the team that they had. They say that about Ben Roethlisberger, why he might not be a Hall of Famer, which is a joke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, all you got to do is look at all the great Yankee teams and the Cowboys teams and the Laker teams, and it takes a group of great players to ascend to that level, to be sure. So is this something you want to talk about, Warren?
Yes, sir.
We'll talk about it then real quick.
Okay, on next Friday, not this Friday, but next Friday, July 27th, 2018, Three Rivers Youth, which is in East Liberty on Broad Street, 6117, from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., we're going to have a community day where we'll have a bunch of vendors and other stakeholders of the community. We'll have the street blocked off and everything for the kids to come out. We'll have food, folks, and fun, you know, for lack of a better term. So I just want to invite everybody to come on out. If you live in the East Liberty area or anywhere close by, please come out and have a good time.
And phone number for information?
Phone number for information, thank you, is 412-441-5020.
Oh, and Chuck, I don't believe you gave phone number email. So if you want people to be able to get to you, you want to give that out?
Absolutely. ChuckCooperFoundation.org is probably the best way to get us. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. And if you have in your heart you want to support our mission, there's a donut button both on Facebook and on our website, ChuckCooperFoundation.org. Thank you, Bill.
Very good, very good. All right, so Kev, transitioning from Earl Campbell and Franco Harris to today's NFL, your Pittsburgh Steelers are about to go to camp in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
and
man.
And whatever the Pirates have in mind, they better put it into effect real quick, because come July 25th, all eyes will be on Latrobe and that long line of cars going up to Steeler practices at Chuck Noll Field in Latrobe. And it's time to get ready for Stairway to Seven.
Stairway to Seven.
It's about
That's
time.
It. Two and, weeks, man.
And don't we agree that this is the year? Because we don't know if Ben has 2 or 3 years of great football left in him, as he suggests. But I would like to think, let's get it done this year. So what's the update on the Steelers and positioning and assessment of how you see it?
Hey, everybody is ready to go to the training camp, with exception of one great man, number 26, Le'Veon Bell. And you know we need Le'Veon Bell. Okay, so hopefully they'll be able to work out a long-term deal with Le'Veon, and, you know, we'll have all of our horses ready to go. Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster, Ben, and a whole everybody else, a whole crew. So I think if the Steelers can stay healthy, it should definitely be a legitimate run for number 7. So there's 2 more weeks before training camp. I'm excited. And, Bill, we need to start thinking about taking our show to La Trobe, man, so we could, you know.
You got to tell Trev, let's get ready and go, man.
Do the show directly at the site.
Absolutely. Let's go. We need to be up there with the rest of the folks, if you know what I mean.
And since we're talking about the NFL, too, I think I mentioned during one of our breaks this past Sunday, I just happened to see a couple NFLers work out this past Sunday. Aaron Donald, who's with the L.A. Rams, and also Trayvon Hester, that's with the Oakland Raiders, they were working very hard. So when they go to training camp, they'll definitely be ready because I saw it directly. And, Bill, they're both from Penn Hills, if I'm not mistaken,
right?
Well,
of course they are.
Of course they are. You're a funny guy, man. That's how we roll, baby. In lieu of you, huh? Yeah.
You remember who I introduced in the audience on Saturday night? The great Hubie Bryant was at our fashion show and our event. Hubie Bryant, nicknamed the Rabbit, quite possibly Bryant.
All right, man, look. Don't get carried away, man.
We're the greatest athlete in Penn Hills history. Every young athlete coming up in Penn Hills wanted to be Hubie Bryant.
And what did he do?
High school All-American, football, basketball, track. Went to the University of Minnesota, All-American, Hall of Fame, higher echelon Hall of Fame at University of Minnesota. Drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers. NFL, played about 3 years, had a couple injuries. And about 10, 12 years with various other leagues after the NFL. But Hubie Bryant, great guy, number one. If you call Hubie right now and say, Hubie, I'm on 5th and 9th Street, and they about to jump me, Hubie say, I'll be there in 15 minutes. Hubie's
coming. I believe that. A real great athlete.
But you know what, Bill?
I didn't ask you to go into detail. Trev, can you cut his mic off, man?
He can't cut my mic off. How are you going to cut my mic off? But here's the other thing. I asked him about something about the Pirates, and he went into a 20-minute dissertation.
And you asked me. That's the whole difference.
Warren dozed off. I had to nudge him to wake him up when he was talking about all that Pirate stuff. But look, a couple questions that are important relative to the Steelers. And I got a question for Chuck and Warren before they leave. But a couple important questions that I'm sure Steeler fans are at least interested in knowing about. Can Big Ben play 3 more years? I know he offered that because he offered initially that this might be his last year and got everybody in an uproar. And fans and I think management got tired of hearing that nonsense, and I think somebody got in his ear. That's number one.
Well, why are you saying 3? Let me ask you that first.
He said 3. He said he's going to play 3 more years. He said 3.
Now, I'm not sure if he has 3 more years left
on his
contract.
That's what I'm asking you. Do you think he can play 3 more years?
I don't think he'll play beyond his contract because, you know, the NFL has a salary cap. And the Steelers, the reason that they drafted Mason Rudolph was to backfill Ben Roethlisberger and remove some of that cap money that they're paying to Ben and to start putting more money on the defensive side of the ball. So I think, you know, from their 3-year plan, I don't think Ben Roethlisberger is in the plans unless Mason Rudolph doesn't pan out or there's some type of crazy injury.
Well, as a matter of fact, if memory serves me right, and it usually does, he said, I'm prepared to play another 3 or 4 years.
He could say whatever he wants to say.
Well, of course, you own the Rooney, so you can determine what they do or don't do.
I know the Steelers'
ways. All right, the next question
is, I've been telling you different things, like Martavius Bryant wouldn't survive his contract, and he didn't survive his contract. I know the way the Steelers operate.
So that being said, who plays opposite Brown this year?
Juju Smith-Schuster.
That's a given?
And then you have James Washington, who's going to be the third receiver.
Okay, but they were high on draft selections, and there was some apparent.
Juju Smith-Schuster is a beast.
You don't have to convince me of that, and he rides a bike. But I'm just saying, is he locked in?
He has a car now, Bill.
He has a car now? Okay, that's cool. Third question, is Rudolph everything they say he is?
I think he is.
Is he the heir apparent?
Like my man Mike Tomlin says, you know, you can only can't determine a whole lot in shorts. So we'll see once they go to training camp, once he's in preseason games and everything. But he's one of those guys like a Le'Veon Bell. Once Le'Veon Bell went to camp, day one, you knew he was going to be a player. That's the way I feel about Mason Rudolph.
Speaking of Le'Veon Bell, and my assessment of his situation is typical. He doesn't need training camp. Save the wear and tear on his body. I think this back and forth is all conjecture for the money, certainly, but posturing so he doesn't have to be wear his body out in training camp. And he'll show up and be ready to go. And he needs maybe a game to get ready. You know, people have a misnomer about this need to have to be in training camp. Training camp is brutal on all levels. And today's athletes don't necessarily need that. They're paid well and conditioned well to stay in shape all year long. So his not being in training camp is not a big loss.
I don't think you could pretty much say training camp for all players. I think it's training camp for select players.
Yeah, I said some
there are
players.
Certain players, you know, they're going to be ready to play. Le'Veon Bell works out like crazy. So you know he's going to be ready to play. Like Antonio Brown, you never have to worry about Antonio Brown.
Exactly.
You never had to worry about a James Harrison. So some players, yeah, you're right. They don't need training camp.
Because today's world, you know, back in the day, guys had to have a second job after the season was over.
Right.
You know, they don't have to do that now. They get paid. They can work out all year long. All right. Next.
And go ahead.
No, go ahead.
All right. Something that is very important, and we talked about this topic many times during the show, and this just came out on Tuesday, the NFL Players Association announced that it is filing a grievance against the league's new national anthem policy. In a statement, the NFLPA said the NFL agreed to hold discussions in hopes of finding a mutual solution to the issue. Now, what I feel that all sides should be happy that this is occurring. I always believe that working together is better. So hopefully, you know, they'll find the right solution.
And every now and then you manage to find something that nobody cares about.
I think a whole lot of people cares about it on both sides.
Don't nobody care about that. What they care about is answer this question. What are they going to do to stop this sieve they call a defensive line this coming season? How are they going to stop the running backs on every other team virtually in this league?
Now you're talking about the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes, I am.
But people care about the NFL policy when it comes to the anthem. Am I right, Chuck? Warren?
I do.
What do you think?
I mean, that's just me. Yeah, but I do. But
thank you. And I know when I talk to family members, my family members, you know, care about it too. I have family members boycotting the NFL, which I argue with them all the time, but we'll save that.
Yeah, I don't believe in boycotting the NFL, and I don't believe in boycotting the Steelers. But I think there's a way that you can make a statement without doing that. You know, Mike Booker has boycotted the Steelers and NFL, hasn't watched a game in 2 years.
Who's Mike Booker?
Well, if you don't know him, you don't know him. But
okay.
He's somebody that we all know. Mm-hmm. So how do we stop how do we stop running backs running over our so-called defensive line?
Well, first of all, you got to have the players healthy to do that. And we know we had a big loss, Ryan Shazier. So we have to fill that gap in the middle. That's very important. And we brought in, you know, a couple players. And as I indicated, we have to stay healthy. Matter of fact, when Ryan Shazier went out, I forget the player's name, number 44, came in and actually replaced him, and he got hurt. So I think if the players are healthy and our defensive line performs to the level that I believe that they could perform at, everything will be fine.
So you don't buy into the fact that we needed to draft somebody to help shore up that defense, and you think the defense we finished with last year will get the job done this year?
No, I would like to have better personnel there, but I think we did – the best based on availability.
But so we'll stay with the theory that if we outscore teams, that'll be the way we win games.
Not at all, because I think once we fall into that mode, we find ourselves in trouble. You know, we have to stop the run. Yeah, I mean, that's just the way it is. In football, you got to stop the run and you got to be able to run. So we're good offensively, defensively. We got to shore that up. There's enough time, okay, where those coaches could come together and find a way to do it. Now, Mitchell, who was the defensive line coach for many, many years, has stepped back, and he's still on the coaching staff. He's an assistant coach, but he relinquished the defensive line coaching position. And I forget the guy's name that came in from Alabama. So he's the new defensive line coach. So hopefully that will help with the defensive stops for the run.
Last Steeler question and tough question for you. Will Shazier ever play again, in your opinion?
I hope not. just because I'm more concerned about his livelihood than him playing football. And he was the best defensive player that we had on the team. And I would love to see number 5-0 on the field for us again, but it's not worth it. It's not worth it. And I think, if anything, it would be ceremonial for him to put a uniform back on when he's able to, but not really see any serious, legitimate snaps. I think that's probably what will occur.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not quite sure about that. I don't know that I've ever heard, although that's not a bad idea, I don't know that I've ever heard about that kind of posture, a ceremonial departure in that regard. I think they've kind of set the tone by mentioning several times his relationship to the front office and doing a couple things, and I think that that's going to be the move. I can't imagine. I've been hit hard, and I've been able to walk after it. I can't imagine what it's like for him to have in his mind getting hit like that again.
Yeah. I think if it's ceremonial, this will be a NFL initiative, just not a Pittsburgh Steelers initiative. I think it'll be a preseason game where he suits up from that standpoint, just to recognize that he is back, and then, you know, nothing else will happen. You see it from time to time in high school football games where, you know, someone that is, I'm not sure the exact word.
Special needs person, yeah.
That is given the ball, and the person runs for a touchdown. Yeah. So I think it'll be one snap where they'll snap the ball and they'll kneel, and he'll come out the game.
I'll go on record to say that'll never happen. They'll never
you,
do
you
that.
Do hear that.
I'll
right?
go on record to tell you
he
that.
He always comes in the week and say, I have to
Chuck Warren, I'm
say
going
that
on record
Kevin
to
was
tell
right.
You, and I'll be doing no more concessions after the day, I assure you. That will never happen. He'll bow out in a suit and a Steeler cap on. Hey, Chuck and Warren, as we fade away from yet another glorious week of sports information and conversation.
You don't want to talk about Jameis Winston?
If you do, go ahead.
3-game suspension? What did he do this time, Bill?
He assaulted an Uber driver. And this is not allegedly. This has now been proven fact.
He blamed it on the alcohol, didn't he?
He assaulted an Uber driver, and he blames it on the drinking, and he promises to never do it again.
So he's going to miss 3 games.
And some people think that's not enough.
In the third game, Tampa actually plays the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll miss that game. And I guess the talk now is, should Tampa Bay get rid of him, or does he deserve another chance?
We're not talking verbal assaults here. We're talking physical.
Sexual assault.
Oh.
You didn't know
groping.
That?
Groping.
Groping, yeah. Still identified as a sexual assault.
Right.
Oh, wow. That's a tough one.
Yeah. I mean, other people were calling for a harder hit, and he got 3 games. And someone made the analogy, and it's not jokingly. Dude from the Ravens hit his wife and knocked her out.
Right.
And got life. And this guy assaults a stranger in a car and gets 3 games.
And that's totally different.
Yeah, it is. But people are calling for a greater sentence than 3 games. That when you do something egregious like that, you should be held accountable to the max.
I agree. I mean, the alcohol
3 games is not
either.
A deterrent, and in my opinion. And this is his third or fourth offense. This is not his first offense.
First in the NFL.
Yeah, but this is his third or fourth sexual assault. And apparently he has a
I'm
problem.
I'm not sure about third or fourth sexual assault. Well, this is his second sexual assault.
No, he had 2 in college, and this is the
See,
second
I've
that
only
he's,
known yeah. one.
No, he
in
had
college.
2 in college. See, and before you start speculating on stuff,
I'm not saying you're right,
check
Bill.
With me, and
I'm
you'll know.
I'm not saying you're right.
You don't have to
it.
Guess.
Don't just, take it that
guess,
you're right.
Because I'm right
because
here in the room
come
with
back
you.
Next week and
you
say
don't have
Kevin
to guess.
Right
you can look across the table and say, Bill, how many assaults did he have? And then I'll give you the answer, and you'll have it. So you don't have to guess. But clearly, on a serious tip, he's got a problem. I mean, you know, I would offer this. It's one thing if Kobe Bryant is walking down a hallway with a woman escorting him to his room, and he takes advantage of her, and it's the first time it never happened before or after. You know, it was an error in judgment, and he may have assumed something, or she may have suggested, or he may have thought she suggested. It's another thing if you're in a sexual assault, and it's been several times.
Okay, time out. Kobe Bryant, what was he accused of? Was he accused of sexual assault? In Las Vegas?
Well, what was he accused of?
I'm asking you. I think he was.
Yeah, I believe he was.
Much more severe than Jameis Winston.
Well,
but so I just don't want you to have a double standard because you're a Lakers fan.
What I'm offering is, if you'll listen to the analogy, is that it didn't happen before or after. So an error in judgment, a mistake, be that as egregious as it was, but for a guy that's in his second or third time, there's something going on that he needs some professional help. That's what I was offering.
I definitely agree with that.
Well, it's about time. Now, having said that, I want to leave the show asking these two Connie Hawkins League ballers. You know, we in lieu of Uncle Drew coming out and how it reminds everybody of the good old days of basketball playing, Chuck, what's your greatest memory in the Connie Hawkins League? You had a chance to play with some of the greatest cats that ever played. Do you have a memory that stands? I know what Warren's is going to be, but do you have one that stands out?
I have so many, Bill.
Do you really?
Two that stick out, and you alluded to one earlier. I remember being a young hotshot, and, you know, you want to get a rep off a vet. And I remember checking Jose Champagne and digging in. And he shook me, put a move on me, and I fell, and all I heard, the crowd was, woo! It was about 3,000, 4,000 strong, simultaneous. That. And the other one,
but to
Bill,
your credit, he did that to a lot of people. So
Yeah. I think I got off on him a little bit that game, too. So, but he was a great player. Tremendous respect for Jose. The other one, and I know you remember this, is when Chris Dolman jumped over the dude and tip dunked it.
Chris Dolman from Pitt.
Yeah.
Chris Dolman.
Football player.
Jumped over a guy and tip dunked it.
Yeah, Chris. And he was just playing around. Mm. He played in the Connie Hawkins League because a couple other Pitt basketball players were playing. So he came and played.
Okay.
He had 19 dunks in one game. And the reason that we know that is Debbie Coleman recorded the dunks. We had never kept dunk stats before. And Debbie said, yeah, it's 19 dunks. And he was just having fun. He was just a beast of an athlete. Just a beast of an athlete. Warren, what about you?
Can I say one thing? And the last thing I'll say, and I'll say it quick, is just – in general, the greatness of play, the community service to the – I mean, we never had anything like that. I mean, what Bill was like 3,000, 4,000 deep on almost any night. Yeah. The level of basketball was tremendous. There was hardly ever any incidents.
Never.
You know what I mean? Never. Maybe a fight or two here and there. That was it. Just a tremendous community asset, and to this day, I always thank you for it.
Well, my pleasure. It was a great run. What about you, Warren?
Again, we don't have enough time.
Give us the one.
Basically, as a player, I would say the 2000 championship against Ricardo Greer and Team Cal going all the way to the end and final game. Yeah,
Ricardo Greer was lighting it up like he was getting paid money that night.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. Yeah. Well, look, that's the end of a great show. My greatest Connie Hawkins moment was when it started. Until it ended. It was a nonstop great show. We had a blast. Never to be repeated. We appreciate everybody being in here tonight, listening to us, and bid you all a farewell. Thank Chuck Cooper for coming in. Thank Warren Wilson for coming in once again. You guys don't be a stranger. Remember, champions aren't born. They're made. And we make them better than anyone. Soul.
Champions Live is the name. Talking sports is our game.
To advertise on Urban Media Today and Urban Media Today Radio, call 412-424-7045. Urban Media Today is an online blog magazine specializing in urban lifestyle, finance, entertainment, HBCU sports, and more. With 24/7 exposure and online exclusives, email editor at urbanmediatoday.com or call 412-424-7045.